You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, it seems like the odds are getting a little longer here. The Marlins got real close to being right in the middle of this, and then things have kind of turned a little bit, some tough losses. Is there some sense that maybe things are kind of turning the wrong direction here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of scoreboard watching, and, with sub-500 teams and you're losing games and series to them and having missed opportunities or lack of shutdown innings or lack of big hits kind of mounting, there's that realization. But I think this also is a team that's kind of been through everything, and in their eyes, they're just going to keep fighting and plugging away is where they're looking for the veterans. I mean, the realistic picture is win as many as you can, stay in as long as you can, try to, hope for one more, hot streak, and hope to, by the end of the month, be at least in striking distance, and if not, give everyone that, experience of what it was like to play for something other than your own numbers or possibility of being on the team next year. So, there's a big picture, and then there's the reality of guys who, kind of really stepped up all year long and wanting to see this fight carried to the end. But there's a realization, but this team has been very good. Mike Redmond set that tone about turning the page, and no matter how tough something looked, to, always forge forward, and that's kind of where they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of set me up for this. It's regardless of how this turns out, something we talked about probably a month ago was that they wanted guys to feel like they were playing in a race, and they got more than that. These guys actually played in a race. What do you think, and what does the organization think, is the value going forward of having even gotten, however this turns out, and again, not to bury them, they could well get back in this, but however it turns out, to have gotten legitimate contention at the end of August. What is the belief around the organization of value there?
When Michael Hill and Dan Jennings stepped into their roles, after last year as president of baseball ops and GM, they made an effort to go out and get players with playoff experience, and that's when they brought in Saul LaMacchia and Garrett Jones and for Call, who obviously was hurt all year, they didn't get much out of him, but they were targeting guys who had been through it. And that was a mindset, meaningful games. They talked playoffs in spring training on a team that, just came off 100 losses. And, so this is more feeding into the same. And, right now, the double A Jacksonville team is in the playoffs, and catcher JP Realmuto will be up here and would have been up here on September 1, but the Suns qualified for the playoffs. So he's in the playoffs now. When that's over, he'll come and experience September baseball in the big league. So, and one reason they're not going to pluck him off the Jacksonville team is they want him to experience what it's like to, go through it. And as Mike Redmond, who was part of the playoff teams in Minnesota and part of the Marlins 03 World Series team, he knows you can't talk about it. You have to actually experience it. There's only so much you can tell somebody. So every game they play, and they're going to have Atlanta and Washington, a lot of games against them, out in Anaheim, playing fairly well, taking one out of three there, but, experiencing that, playing the team with the best record in the game and going toe-to-toe with them, all this is part of development. They consider winning and competing part of development, seeing how guys respond to that. So, that all ties in and all folds under one umbrella, but it also is consistent with the theme. They probably couldn't have drawn it up much better outside of, save the injuries of what this year kind of turned out to be. So, the fact that meaningful games is even being mentioned in Miami is a win for them.
The position that Mike Redmond was put in last year and this year is often a tough position, and a lot of times it seems like when a club is rebuilding, you almost feel like the guy hired to manage that team is hired to be fired. A lot of times it seems like that guy's there to get him through a couple years, and then you bring in the manager who's going to be there when you start winning. I think it's safe to say that's not the case with Redmond. What have you seen in his development as a manager both tactically and also in the clubhouse to establish him as a guy who, for my money, is really having one of the better years of any manager in either league.
Yeah, he really is, and he's kind of an extension of the team. I mean, he is what they are. I mean, he's going through his growing pains, but they're all kind of in it together. You know, it is interesting. You know, he's got his players back. He's incredibly upbeat. He's a very good communicator. A strong relationship with the front office. You know, strong relationship with his players. And, you know, there's always that cliche, a team takes on the personality of its you know, leader, manager, coach. They're kind of doing that, you know, across the board, down to their respective position coaches. You know, the hitters, Frankie Menichino is doing a very good job as the hitting coach, and he's a no-nonsense, you know, take no slack, give them no slack, just pressure them to excel, knowing full well that they're not always going to come through, but, you know, always urging that. And the hitters, even though the results aren't always there, their mindset is that. And Red, the same thing, you know, be patient, yet encouraging, yet upbeat, yet accountable. You know, all those things have been preached to them, and it's very consistent. And I've never seen a team, Matthew, that, you know, could go off, they could lose five in a row, and the sixth day, they're like, we're going to beat these guys. We're better. We're fine.
Have you also seen him develop tactically? Because it seems like that's often one of the things we've seen in recent years is you hire a guy who can lead and figure out he'll learn how to run a game as the years go by.
Yeah, and that's where I think the criticisms you'll see of Red would be strategical or tactical, where you're like, why did he leave him in that long? Or why didn't he make the move there? Because it's almost looking like he's letting, you know, this guy throw a seventh inning, an eighth inning, a guy who's never done that before, trying to get the Cardinals out or something like that. When it's like, go to your bullpen right there, manage. I think you go through, and you've seen it, you've covered it. You manage differently when the season's on the line. You know, you're not saying, oh, well, let's see if this guy could go seven today just for his own good, or let's give this guy a bat against a tough lefty to see how he does. You know, you have to make that decision that the urgency is right here, right now, and I'm going to lose making moves trying to get matchups. And I think Red's transitioning there too. And, you know, that's all part of it. And like I said, he's a guy who I think is growing on the job as well. You know, he gets really high grades in terms of getting guys to play for him, in terms of communication, in terms of, you know, putting these guys in position to win or succeed. Really high grades to him in that regard.
The Marlins made a couple call-ups, but to most people, seems like by far the most noteworthy one is Andrew Haney. This was a guy who was really hyped, had a really good first start, kind of had some struggles, and at least based on the numbers, didn't really have a great time after he was sent back down. Where is he at right now in his development? Do you think he's a guy who is part of this rotation next year? Is this a good year overall for him? Or I mean, it just seems like an interesting year for a guy who, again, had huge hype.
Yeah, I mean, it started kind of in the Arizona Fall League. He dominated there, came into spring training, was very good, but knew all along he was going to start off in Double A. You know, the rotation at that time obviously had Jose, and, you know, so let the kid go down, number one rated lefty by MLB.com in all of baseball, Marlins number one prospect, let him go do his thing at Jacksonville, and man, he came out of the chute doing that. Was very good with Jacksonville, earned his promotion. Organizationally, the team changed philosophies from years past, bringing up Josh Johnson, Dontrell Willis, and everybody else from Double A straight to the big leagues. They said, no, we're not even going to rush him. We're going to not that June 5th or whatever service time deadline. We're going to push him to give him five or six starts at AAA and see a different breed of hitting, be a little bit more challenging there, guys with big league experience. He goes there, does very well, earns his call-up. And like you said, he started off against the Mets. He had a quality outing, didn't get the win, but it spiraled away from him quickly after that. And then he went back down after a really rough start in St. Louis in early July and had kind of an up and down second half with the Zephyrs in AAA. And now I'm mildly surprised, Matthew, that he's here, because I thought they might say, you know what, you know, let's get him physically bigger because he has room in his body to grow. He's thrown about 150 innings. Let's send him down. But when Henderson Alvarez had his little oblique issue, and his status is unclear, you know, they're hoping it's not serious and he could be back soon. Then Haney is now up in the big leagues and may get a start or two. I would think his season would probably be over by about September 18th or so, assuming he gets a start or two. up here now, but this could be a big month for him. You know, they still believe in him. They still have high hopes. He's just 23. And the stuff was really good in the first half, and then the stuff just seemed to flatten, and I don't know whether he tried to do too much, if he got caught up in the moment, but, you know, he definitely, they needed to pull the brakes on, you know, put the brakes on and pull back and just say, hey, look, you know, collect yourself, figure out, you know, learn and grow. But, and you know, answer your question, see, in rotation next year, clearly has to earn it, you know, and that will be a spring training thing. And if he does earn it, I'm not looking at him in the 1, 2, 3 spots. I'm looking at he's earning the fifth starter spot. So still some stuff to show in these last few weeks in this season. But overall, I think you got to say it was humbling for him and an eye-opener, and we will see if he makes the adjustments to be what they think he can be.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.